You're listening to High Vibe Mindset, where entrepreneurs Aaron Smith, a sports physician assistant, and Melissa Smith, an intuitive eating dietitian and mindset coach, dive into all the juicy details of business, relationships, health, science, and spirituality. Now let's dive in. Today, I am joined by Giselle, and we are going to talk about anxiety because it's something that we've both been dealing with a lot lately. And we thought this was a really important conversation. We actually were having a Zoom call, like a friend's, you know, Zoom call happy hour, because she lives in Chicago and I live in Orlando. And we were just, you know, talking about the stress and the struggle with anxiety. So we wanted to share some of that conversation because I think it's important for everyone to kind of recognize and talk about mental health and talk about what they're going through. And I loved having that conversation with her because I felt like I had a lot of insight after that conversation and a lot of fresh perspective and some tips that I walked away with. So that's what we want to do with this episode as well.
So yeah, thanks for having me, Mel. I'm actually really excited about this and I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while. It's actually a podcast I've been wanting to do, you know, just from our past conversations. We all live life differently and we all deal with anxiety differently, but I think the constants is like having anxiety and going through these physical or emotional or just having a bad mindset when you're in a state of anxiety. And I think we all can learn from each other and really figure out, you know, like you said, grabbing the tips from each other and how can we apply them to our own life and our own way of dealing with it. So I'm excited. This is going to be a fun topic to talk about.
Yes, exactly. So there's so much we could talk about when we talk about anxiety, and it comes in so many different forms, right?
Absolutely.
One thing that I came across that I was like, wow, that's me. 100%. That's me. Let me know if you guys have heard of this, but high functioning anxiety. So I want to just quickly share some of the characteristics. And high functioning anxiety is not recognized as a mental health diagnosis, but it's more of like a catch-all term that refers to people that live with anxiety, but they identify more functioning reasonably well in different aspects of their life. So when you think of it, high functioning, it's not, they have anxiety. Maybe it's not really too debilitating or causing them to, you know, maybe not be able to show up to work or function and do certain things, but it's definitely noticeable. And it's definitely a form of stress and suffering. So what we see a lot of times with people who have high functioning anxiety is they typically might have that type A personality.
Which we both know we both have.
Exactly. Yes. So, you know, you can look really successful and together and calm on the surface and excel at work or at life, but inside in your mind,
total mess. Let's admit it.
Yes, right. So I know for me, one thing is, yeah, constantly worrying, constantly thinking, you know, overthinking a lot. That's something I've noticed a lot. I didn't really do that with school so much, but in business, wow, that's one of those signs.
I think just overthinking things. And I think it's something we've also talked about is the fact that I think we're both perfectionists, and it's how do we get to be a perfectionist and not let it affect, and, you know, acknowledging the fact that we don't have to be perfect, but we're so critical of our own work and our own image and our own selves that it turns into this high functioning anxiety.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much that goes around that with just having the type A personality and knowing that you want to also impact other people and not just yourself, but that's where it all stems from. And it's definitely a bigger question of like, how do you deal with it in the end? But there's just so much to embody with that. I agree.
Yeah, totally. Like you hit the nail on the head, right? Like a lot of us are perfectionists, and that's like a double-edged sword. Like you can have some positives to that and you really want things to be high quality. You want to do things the right way. You don't want to cut corners. But then at the same time, it can really hold you back and can cause some procrastination and just feel awful because you become so self-critical, right? And you can just put so much stress in your body and that can affect your health. So those are some really obvious signs of high functioning anxiety. Also, maybe the need for reassurance and, you know, just feeling like you're not getting that recognition or praise, then you can start worrying like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah. And I think as women too, we have so many roles. We're business women, mothers, sisters, wives, you know, girlfriends, mentors. There's so many roles that we have. And it's like, how are you a perfectionist in every single one of those roles? And it can get overwhelming. And again, that's kind of where this high functioning anxiety also kind of starts embodying us. And as we try to just be perfect in like every single role that we come across as well. So
yeah,
and that's what happens when you have a type A personality and you want to just be successful and driven and ambitious. You start not only focusing on one aspect of your life, but just like so many other different areas.
Yes, exactly. And perfectionism, like I said, it has the positives and the negatives. So, you know, the positives, you could be detail oriented, high achieving, active, helpful, passionate, loyal in relationships, punctual, outgoing, and then the negative characteristics. And by the way, I'm getting some of this info from the Very Well Mind from this article because I really like it. And it resonated a lot with me. And they talk about the negatives of perfectionism and anxiety disorders, right? And especially with that high functioning, these are some of the experiences you might be struggling with. Being a people pleaser, right? Afraid of driving people away, talking a lot or having nervous chatter. Right. When you don't know how to stop, you're just trying to fill the space and just keep it going. Nervous habits like playing with your hair or cracking your knuckles or biting your lip, doing repetitive things like counting the stairs or rocking back and forth, overthinking, lost time. Maybe you get late to appointments or you're like, oh, my goodness, how's it 2 p.m. already? And I barely got through my to-do list. Right. Need for reassurance, procrastination, avoiding eye contact, rumination, and dwelling on either past things that happened or little mistakes you made, or ruminating on the future of like, what if this bad thing
just
happens?
To that topic, like sometimes I think also, and maybe it's just, I'm sure other people can relate, but sometimes when you see things so differently from other people, like a little mistake you might make is like the biggest mistake for you.
Yeah.
Compared to other people that are like, probably don't even notice it. But that's probably one that I can definitely relate to.
Yeah. I'm just like ticking all the boxes for all of these. Even the nervous habits makes me laugh, but I'm like, check, check, check. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Rumination.
They're probably a little easier to hide now that we're probably more in the home and hiding behind the screen and our video off or whatever the case may be. But
yeah,
they're still happening.
Exactly. And if anything, I feel like anxiety is something so many people are going through because of this pandemic. Like we have anxiety over finances and job security and all these different things. But
yeah, social anxiety now from just not being around people.
Social anxiety for sure happens when you're not around people a lot. Like you really lose that mojo. You really start to get nervous. I've had that before. And again, now with the pandemic.
Yeah. And it's also like when you're not comfortable, like I know for me, for my job, it's like, I'm getting used to my new role as a consultant. You're always on different projects and it's like you're starting a new job every couple months and you're with a new team, you're learning new skills, you're in a whole new industry sometimes. And
yeah,
for me, it's change is a big part of where my anxiety stems from.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't know a lot, it definitely triggers the anxiety part of, oh my gosh, I don't feel like I'm smart right now. I don't feel like I can be, you know, I can add value to my team. Or that's also just like being limited on the knowledge that you might have. That's a big challenge sometimes as well.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that and talking about how your anxiety started. And for me, it's been It's something I've never really struggled with growing up. And then when I became a mom 3 years ago, actually while I was pregnant, so more like 4 years ago, I had so much anxiety. That's when my hormones started changing. But it also, when you have a kid, it's not about you anymore. And you're like, wow, I need to protect this precious soul with everything. And that tons of rumination came with that. And
insomnia. There's just so many things that at that point are out of your control that you just kind of have to wait, you know, to happen. And that's scary. It's a new role. You don't know how to do it yet. You're learning as you go with your baby, and it's scary.
Yeah. I really felt so terrified in the beginning, and like in so much fear of failing as a mother, and so much fear of just like, you know, I have to raise a human and I have to take care of them. And I have to do all these things that are completely new. And even when you realize like, yeah, I can do that, then you just fear all the external factors. Like, what if something else bad happens? And
you just go into this rabbit hole of everything else that you might fear. And
exactly.
And then you start needing validation, right? Like, am I doing this right? Is he okay? Like, he's probably slept through the night. That's a good thing. Like, yeah, you just go through these questions, and I can relate to that. I feel like my anxiety started from change as well. And I think for you, it was the change of having a new role as a mother, having to take care of someone else. And for me, it was after, I think it was 2018. So it was 3 years ago. And it was right after I graduated from Dominican, got my master's. Obviously, like, my main focus before that was school and work, and I didn't really worry about anything else.
Yeah.
But I applied for my current consulting firm, and that was like my dream job. That's where I wanted to work. And the fact that I got the job, at that point, it was like a trigger in my mind. Instead of being like, oh my God, I'm so excited about this job, it completely turned into, oh my gosh, I don't think I'm fit for this job. I don't think I'm good enough. And it was that change, I think, that really just honestly just triggered my mind, and it just started going downhill from there. It's like, okay, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to do great. I'm going to fail at this. I don't think I'm good enough. And that's where it's just led to so many other things to go wrong. It was literally like a snowball effect right after that.
It is. It is crazy how it's like once you let in those thoughts and you start having them when it comes to anxiety, it's crazy how much it can snowball. I'm with you. When it started for me and I was having really bad intrusive thoughts in the beginning and everything, like my anxiety was terrible the first 6 months. But then I kind of flipped a switch and then I felt good. And I still have like that, those moments, that typical, I feel like now I have it more in a healthy way. Like I still have that instinct and not instinct, but I basically have those moments throughout the day, like, whoa, like, you know, mama bear, and you're just kind of like always on high alert and everything, but it doesn't keep me up at night like it did. And I'm not
like, you know how to control it now.
Yes.
Exactly. Whereas before, when I think it both hit us, it's like, what the heck are we like? For me, it was like, what is going on with my body right now?
Yes.
I don't even like, I remember getting like your heart palpitations where you just felt like your heart was coming out of your body.
Yeah.
And the first times that started happening, well, one, I actually thought I was having a heart attack. I'm like, I didn't know that was part of having anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so I remember telling my mom, like, oh my God, I have to go to the hospital. Like, I think I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah.
And when I went, I remember they did all the tests and stuff, and the nurse came in and she's like, honey, you have anxiety. And I'm like, okay, so I don't have a heart attack. That's good.
Yeah, that'd be scary.
And I think I told you this story before, but I remember her giving me like the biggest reality check ever that honestly I talk a lot about now, but it's like, he was telling me like, honey, you're going to go through so much more shit in your life. Like, how old are you right now? Like, what's been going on? And then I was telling her, like, I just graduated. I'm starting a new job. And she's like, you're going to lose people in your life. You're going to have a family one day. You're going to go through hardships. You're going to maybe be in financial. Like, she was just telling me all the things that could go wrong in my life. And she's like, you need to know how to handle that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I have a lot of work to do. Man,
it is. It's such a reality check. It's so powerful because it's just giving you some perspective, but it's hard. I mean, we get there. It's not like it's bad. It's a bad thing that you were there, but I'm glad you were able to find that as a way of like, okay, like I want to be able to manage this and I'm figuring out how to cope with this.
Right. And I think at that point, it was okay. I definitely remember that conversation, but I am not in the right state of mind to listen to this yet. Yeah. Like, if anything, I think it took me down even more rabbit holes in that state. And there's just so many physical and emotional and just like mindsets that anxiety can turn into that you're just like, wow, like, I had no idea that my body could go through all of this just by having anxiety. And the fact is, like, you don't know how to cope with it. It can be so hard to get out of it and get out of, you know, having anxiety and not learning how to control it and deal with it.
Are you looking to elevate your client experience to the next level? Whether you're in the wellness, photography, or mental health worlds, imagine the impact of offering your client a truly unique and memorable gift that supports them on a personal level. Introducing the Custom Affirmation Card Decks by Soleia. Our custom affirmation decks are designed to empower and inspire your clients, leaving a lasting impression that strengthens your professional relationship. So picture this. Your own branded affirmation cards, beautifully crafted with imagery that reflects your brand's essence. These card decks serve as more than just a gift. They become a daily reminder of your commitment to your client's well-being and success. Whether you're a life coach, yoga instructor, therapist, or photographer, your custom card deck supports your client's personal growth, even when they're not in a session with you. So why settle for generic gifts like candles or pens when you can create something truly transformational and beautiful? With Soleia's custom affirmation cards, you can tailor every aspect to align with your brand identity and the values that you stand for. And this process is easy for you. We do all the heavy lifting from design to ordering. Simply choose your affirmations, select the imagery, and add your logo and branding elements. We'll take care of the rest, delivering a high-quality, personalized product. Join the ranks of leading wellness, photography, and mental health professionals who are elevating their client experience with custom affirmation card decks from Soleia. Visit our website today at soleia.co/custom to learn more and start creating your own unforgettable client gifts. That's soleia.co/custom. And I'll spell it out for you, soleia.co/custom. Together, let's inspire positivity and empower transformation, one affirmation at a time.
Yes. And I think there's so many different things out there that we can do. So it's so important to just try the different things and find what works for you. Because any advice that we give of what helps us or how we cope with it may help you, may not. So it's definitely a case by case basis. And, you know, you got to work with your healthcare professionals or just listen. I'm a big proponent of listening to your intuition. Just feel like, notice like what's actually helping you or not. Right.
Yeah, definitely listen to your body, listen to your mind, and take the time to just really sit with yourself, even if it's a few minutes or like, you know, just in the mornings or at night to recap your day, be reflective of yourself. Yeah, just be reflective of yourself to start listening to what your body is telling you, because I think before that's something that I didn't do before. It was just more like, go, 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 do this, do that. And obviously we were younger and you feel like you can do everything and anything. But the truth is, like, we're getting older and our bodies are just responding differently.
Yeah.
And they're not like they used to be.
And the responsibility and the pressure we have. I mean, of course, like, who wouldn't feel like that, right? When you're a kid, you have people taking care of you. And all you have to do is like go to school and have fun. Not everyone. Obviously, a lot of people grow up with probably the role of parenting and responsibilities. And maybe you're someone that had anxiety as a kid, or maybe you're growing up in a pandemic now and you're in this pandemic now. And I feel for the kids and the teenagers who can't be with their friends and are dealing with a lot right now. You know, we went over a few of those symptoms. There's so many more symptoms, and we definitely want to share like some of the physical and emotional symptoms that the way anxiety presents in us, just to give more context and just so you guys can, you know, see with yourself, because maybe there's some of these things that you're going through and you're not sure what's happening, right? And maybe you're kind of putting it on the back burner, but maybe it can help you to have the awareness that that might be anxiety.
And not a heart attack.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, and keep listening to get some tips. So maybe you do realize, okay, maybe I do have anxiety, and then now you'll want to learn how to cope with that and manage that, because when anxiety gets out of control, it can definitely not be great. It can definitely affect you physically and mentally.
Your mind can take over yourself, and it's just hard to get out of it. I agree.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just looking here, yeah, at the list, and I have so many of these, but I'll say like the biggest ones that have affected me would be insomnia was something that, wow, I mean, I'm still kind of dealing with it here and there, but that really like fucked up my life last year with insomnia. Yeah.
That's definitely one that I can also relate to. And that one takes a lot of work, like just to get your body back on a normal routine. I think that was like the last thing that I think that's honestly the, like, you'll know you can control your anxiety once you're able to go to bed.
Yeah.
And not be up at night.
Yeah. And sleep is so important. I mean, I feel like it's just a vicious cycle that one just feeds into the other and just keeps you trapped in a cycle, because if you have anxiety, you have trouble sleeping. If you have trouble sleeping, you're going to feel like shit the next day. And
I feel, and then your anxiety feels worse that day because you don't have sleep. And yeah, it's just a terrible circle of death.
Yes. And for me, I've been asking so many people about this, and I feel like I have not seen this a lot. So it'd be interesting if any listeners have dealt with this, but it was so bad. Thankfully, I'm not having as many dreams and stuff now, but I would have like nonstop. It went in phases. So last year, shortly after the pandemic, actually before, so starting like November 2019-ish, I just started having nightmares like every night, and through most of 2020, maybe into like the first 5 months of 2020. And I just felt like my body was just like, I was getting no rest, and I was just living out like crazy dreams all night long, mostly like mass shooting dreams or craziness. And I love scary movies, but I actually hadn't watched that many that often. And true crime, I stopped because I'm like, maybe that's affecting me, true crime podcasts and stuff. But I think it was just the news, all the mass shootings and things really affected me. And that was something.
You know what? I think that our minds, when we are at that high point, our minds are just so hypersensitive that anything you like sponge up for the day or whatever, it affects you in your sleep. Because I used to have something similar where I wouldn't have nightmares, but I will say like, every time that I would try falling asleep, I would go and like my body would be afraid to fall asleep. Like,
yeah,
I would have this like feeling of like just going down a roller coaster, and it was like a shock, and then it would just like wake me up again.
Yes. That's a sign too of anxiety. And I've actually had a lot of clients that I've worked with that have insomnia, and they've experienced that. Like they have a really hard time falling asleep. And then even when they do, like their body won't let them, it will jolt them awake.
Yeah. It's scary. That I feel like was probably one of my worst symptoms. I will say I was not a fan of that.
And these are the things when, like, we really have to figure out, get to the bottom of it. So for me, it definitely was, it was just the news, Facebook articles of like this death and that death all the time, you know. I actually stopped listening to that true crime podcast, but I do watch some on YouTube here and there. But I really like cut back on negative information and just like entertainment in general. I love entertainment. I love movies. I love all these things. But a lot of times it does have a lot of violence or death or this or that. So I started plugging in way more business podcasts and educational content during my day. So the nightmares and those dreams went down. But my stress and my anxiety with running a business kind of stayed the same. So then my dreams just changed and were replaced to me as if I'm working while I'm sleeping.
God. I've had so many of those too. And yeah, this actually happened to me like maybe 3 weeks ago or last week. And I was so mad.
Yeah.
It was a Saturday. And I'm like, why am I working on a Saturday night?
Yeah.
I was just so mad.
Yeah.
Like, out of all the days of working, I had to work in quotes on a Saturday night. And it literally felt like a full, like, it was to the T, like I was working.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. My brain. Yeah. I've had multiple dreams like that now. And it's just, I wake up and I'm like, seriously, because it's like you're working a full day, but then it's also like on 2 or 3 times speed for me. And so you're like, and going crazy and like thinking like I'm doing this and doing that. And it's like your body's trying to sleep, your brain, your mind, your body needs rest, your nervous system needs rest, and you're not getting it.
That one is definitely relatable too. I think honestly, it's just like coming up with a night routine and really trying to train your brain to wind down.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's helped, you know, making lists at night, reading a book, not looking at the news, not watching scary movies like you mentioned before. Like those types of things help, taking melatonin to try and get on a cycle. But it's just so hard to get back onto a night routine or even like just getting back into a sleep routine.
But it makes a difference. I agree with you. It's really hard. And I think, you know, we have to do that mindset work during the day and catch ourselves when we're feeling high stress during the day and in anxiety mode or having racing thoughts or ruminating during the day or anything, or when we're letting our cortisol rise during the day because we're like, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. And we're not just like relaxed and our conscious isn't just clear. Because that's, we're creating that habit during the day too. So of course it's affecting us.
It's following up and then you feel it at the end of the day. You feel it when you're going to bed. It's true. It's like you really need to take the time during the day to reset your mind, whether it's making lunch for yourself, just to get out of whatever triggered your anxiety, whether it was a meeting or whether it was a deadline or procrastinating on a deliverable for work or whatever the case may be. Going on a quick 5-minute walk outside, taking some time to just breathe. There's so many little things that you can do throughout the day to just like reset your mind and just like snap out of that, whatever is starting that anxiety.
Yes, I love that. So I love all the tips you gave with melatonin and a night routine and limiting, you know, the screens and the news. And, you know, it's important that we curate like what we're listening to and watching, and also that we're limiting it. And we just live in this world with so many distractions, and all these things are just raising our cortisol over and over and over again. It's hard, right? Because it becomes a habit, but it's up to us to get back to curating our lives and to adding in those activities that are actually calming and that are enjoyable and relaxing, because our body needs that.
No, it's true. And I think the biggest thing that I think that I've definitely worked on is that self-love, you know?
Yes.
Like, you know, if you know you've had a rough week, go get a massage or just give your body love. Like at the end of the day, we only have one body. We really need to nurture it and take care of it, whether it be with, you know, eating healthy, or I know intuitive eating is a big thing, but there's so many ways that you can give your body love. And ultimately, like, you're going to see results. You're going to notice it if you are also putting in that love into your body. And watering your body or just doing things that you know make your body feel well.
Yeah. Pay attention to what feels good. Pay attention to what foods feel good after you eat them. Pay attention to what your body needs. I agree 100% what it's asking for. So yes, I think self-love, self-care, right, is so important. Mindset is important. I think being able to get out of that fight or flight during the day and out of that mode where maybe other things are stimulating us. For me, I know too much stimulation that I've grown to be addicted to is not going to serve me well. So I really do need to carve out the space for meditation and for walks. And I feel so much better after that. But yeah, what else would you say? Like, what are some other things that can help maybe that we didn't cover?
I have a couple. So I think just a couple of things with your mindset. And these are things that I know that I was struggling with, but accepting failure, accepting that we're not perfect. And I think that's a big one for, I mean, I apply it to my daily self as a sister, as a role model, as a leading a project or whatever the case may be, like accepting that you're not always going to be right, or sometimes you might fail and it's going to be okay. You know, I think from there, sometimes we just get so rattled about, oh my God, we did so wrong here, or, but it's out of our control as well. And I think that brings me to my next point, that some things are out of our control and we need to not worry about that. And more so just focus on what we can control. And when we know that we can control something, sometimes we feel really good about it. You know, you make the moves, you know, you can drive that decision. And it's more so just focusing on those things as well, rather than something that you cannot control. Because you're
going to
go nowhere.
Let it go. Let go what you can't control. Let go and trust, right?
Yeah. And also just living more in the present. And again, it kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, just worrying about what you can control. You can control the present. You can't control the future. You can plan for the future, but that's about it. You can't really do anything else.
Exactly.
So I think those kind of things I've definitely learned to follow more and just kind of use them as like guiding principles in my life. But I will say, like, I did start therapy this year or last year now. And I think that was a huge help. And I know for me, I really struggled with communication and just like knowing my own emotions. And I think going through therapy really helped me just know more about myself as well. And I think a huge journey is knowing yourself and learning about yourself so that you can eventually learn how to cope with what your body is telling you and those high alert moments. So I would say for anyone else listening, like, definitely consider therapy. You learn so much about yourself during therapy, I will say.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's a huge thing to maybe consider. And for me also, just having pulse checks, not only with myself, but with the people around me. And I think I apply this more to my job, you know, with my teammates or my managers. It's like, how am I doing? Am I doing well? Just having that sense of confirmation and feedback from them and knowing where I am or what they think of me and, you know, their perspective in general, I think is so helpful, rather than just going with it and not knowing if I'm going in the right direction or whatever the case may be. I think having that communication with the people that you work with will probably make your life easier and at least avoid some of the anxiety you get out of work.
Yes.
But I think it can be applied to like our families. It can be applied to our friends communicating. I think that's huge. And sometimes you may struggle with communication, but again, it goes hand in hand with just finding what's comfortable for you and then building off of that. And I think the last point that I want to mention is my faith. And I've definitely embodied the fact that I know I'm never going to be put in a situation that I can't handle. And there's always going to be a solution. You might not know it like right off the bat, but I think for me, just having that mindset and that, I guess, just like the affirmation that I know that I'm going to be okay and I'm not going to ever be in a situation I can't handle is something that I really do truly hold on to. Those are my big things. There's also like obviously exercising and, you know, going to yoga or meditation, just finding the things that you really enjoy doing and that you feel your body really being at peace, I think are ways to kind of cope as well. But it takes time to learn what works for you. And everyone kind of is everyone deals with it a little bit differently, but
I love that. Yeah, I feel like your coping mechanisms, I could echo that and say that these are really powerful. And for me too, I actually started therapy last year too. So maybe similar timeline there. And that made a huge difference. We actually started with one therapist that I'm like, okay, this is okay. I didn't feel that wowed or anything. But when I got onto BetterHelp, actually, the person I got connected on with BetterHelp, which was actually more affordable, just mind blown. Like, it was so good for me. And so I would say, you know, therapy is amazing, right? So it can be amazing. And if feel like maybe you're not getting that, or maybe you're not matched up, it's not necessarily that it's a bad therapist or a bad therapist out there, but it could just be maybe not a great fit. So I would say just keep trying. And I would say BetterHelp is a good option because it worked for me.
I agree. I think sometimes you're not matched with the right person. For me, I know that I'm a minority. I know that I'm a woman. So for me, it's like, I need to find someone that's relatable in those areas for me, because I feel like they'll be able to give me the advice, because they similarly probably have gone through those same things as well, of being a minority and a woman in a working world or whatever the case may be. So yeah, it's definitely doing your research and finding someone that has similar morals and values as you, I think is so important, because you want someone that can understand you and that can listen to you and empathize with you so that you can get the right advice that's going to work for you.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And it makes me think of a tip from Dr. Kirk Honda that our friend Gabriella shared. She loves, I love him too now. And I totally noticed this with the therapist I had, but someone who really holds space for you and has so much empathy and care. And they're just kind of, you have to feel like it's a safe base for you, that who you're talking to. Yeah, that the person is like listening, paying attention, that they have empathy for you, that they care. And it's not someone that's just like, you need to do this or need to do that. That's not what therapy is. I think a lot of people worry about that or think that, or think they're going to get diagnosed and called out or this or that. The big thing is that a lot of us have insecure attachments. So that's how you become secure. That's how you feel like you can trust people. That's how you feel like, oh, like this is what communication is. Yeah, you learn communication with the therapist, because it's like you have someone there that's giving you, you know, they're listening, they're reflecting what you're saying back to them.
They're asking all the right questions that help you really understand yourself and help you answer questions that you've probably been questioning about yourself too, right? Like, why does this happen to me? Okay, let's go back to like when you were little and let's explore all of that. And just like tying everything together. Like for me, I know I talked to my therapist about my childhood, and I remember her like remembering, I mean, she, I'm sure, like writes all this down, or I don't know how they do it, but she remembers like everything about me that I've told her after. This was like second 8 or 9. I don't even remember, but it's her making the connection. Like, okay, when you were little, you were like this. This is why you're like this now. Or this is, I agree. You definitely need to find a therapist that will be able to listen to you and just really pay attention to the details of your life, because it's crazy how certain things in your life will impact you. Maybe not right away, but like in the future, like 10 years later or whatever the case may be.
I agree. And I think like for me, it was the demonstration of healthy communication that helped. It's like we learn, I think the most effective way of learning something is when you see someone else and you can model that behavior. Someone can go through slides or tell you whatever, but if they're not doing it themselves, right, then you're like, well, you're not doing it, or I don't know how to do it. When people can show you through their actions, you're able to see that and you're able to kind of model that, because we're still kind of like sponges. Whoever is in our inner circle, the people that we're closest with and the people we spend time with. And so this can include your therapist, right? Whoever you're spending the most time with, you're going to just take on some of their dynamics, just habits, some of the, the habits, the way that they communicate. So it's important to be really cognizant of that, of who's in your circle and how you're communicating and paying attention to like, how can I improve? Right. And that is one way. I mean, we have to do that inner work. We're always working on it. We're not perfect. No one's ever going to be perfect, but it's good to learn.
It's always a work in progress. I will say it's never like, okay, I'm done. I'm cured. I'm great.
Yeah.
I agree. It's always going to be a work in progress, but I do definitely agree with you in the fact that, you know, our circles are, it's who you are around, who empowers you, who lifts you up, who believes in you, who, and I will say, like, I know that I have friends that have all of those things for me and I for them. And I know, like, when we used to have our Zoom happy hours, like, we would lift each other up.
Yeah, I love it. You guys are literally the best ever. I manifested that.
And we definitely need to do them more often. But I mean, it was literally the time of the pandemic and we would make time to jump on these calls and really like empower each other and push each other up. And finding those people in your life are so important when you know that you're probably not in the best space.
Yeah.
And not being afraid to ask for help or like, or be vulnerable.
Totally. Yeah. Because for me, almost being 30, just so many so many shifts and transitions and different roles and everything and stress. And it's like, yeah, I found myself at a place like, wow, I'm really struggling. I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm struggling with my direction. I'm struggling with communication and I don't want to struggle. And then you kind of get hit in the head when you're older sometimes with things. And maybe, you know, you start to look back on childhood and thinking like, oh, that's not good. Or, oh, this happened. Or, and now this made me like this and this isn't good. And that's okay. I think a lot of us get to that point. It's like that, you know, when we start hitting our 30s, a lot of us are there and we start doing inner child work. And it's not about having a bad parents or anything. It's just everyone's human. Everyone is kind of accidentally hurting each other or doing whatever. You know, some of these signs, like when you're struggling with anxiety, if you're struggling in your relationships, if you're struggling with fear of failure in your business or mindset or communication, there's definitely so many tools out there to learn how to cope with that and manage that. And that's why it's good to talk about it with people and you learn more tools for your tool belt.
Exactly. Always try new tools and put them in your toolbox if you're going to find them helpful. I agree. Yeah, I think talking about it, and I will say, like, before I wasn't comfortable talking about it, but it, you feel so much better being able to talk about it, being able to accept it. Because that's another thing. Some people don't accept it or are just fearful of it. And it's like, okay, no, accepting it and knowing that you need to do some work is so important.
Yeah. And that's funny too, because, you know, I think about that sometimes with choosing this name of high vibe mindset. And I love feeling good. I love positivity. I love being in a high vibe and a good mindset, but not in that toxic way. And it's so important that you're able to feel the full range of emotions and cope with them and move through them. And they're all okay. We cannot actually be high vibe all the time. But the point of this podcast is to help you like move through these things and not stay like in a pit.
Yeah. Most importantly, like learn how to cope with them, right? Like you want to be able to handle them and just nurture your emotions in the best way you can, whether it's being you being angry or you being, I don't know, it's like so many different emotions we have, obviously, but just learning how to have the best version of yourself in probably your worst emotions or personalities or whatever the case may be when you're dealing with them.
That's so true. I love that. Yeah. It's like you can have the best version of yourself no matter what you're going through and you know how to handle that stuff. That's what's important. It's being able to handle all these things that are being thrown your way and come to the other side and keep going and keep making an impact and keep living your life. So, well, this has been an amazing talk. Thank you so much for doing this.
This was so much fun.
So much fun. We definitely have to do it again. And there's so much we can talk about. I know, like, just a million different topics that we can talk about. But yeah, I just want to end the podcast with, if anyone is going through anxiety, right, feel free to email us, leave us any more questions or comments or anything if you want a part two, or if there's any other similar topics that you want to talk about. Because I think it's really good to talk about these mental health topics.
I agree. And this was so much fun. And thank you so much for having me, Mel. I'm so happy that we did this. And
me too.
I'm excited. Hopefully we get to do a couple more, because there's just so much. But again, we don't want to overwhelm everyone in one night.
Yeah.
Well, definitely we have to do it again. I would love it. So yeah, we're going to do it. We'll see when.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for having me.
If you loved this episode, subscribe and stay notified for new episodes every Tuesday. Leave us a review with what you liked or what you want more of. And don't forget, stay high vibe.
Do you know these three things are sabotaging your ability to live your high vibe life? First is living in disconnection, which basically means walking around with no awareness of your body, emotions, or values. And second is letting negative self-talk run the show in your brain. That's just going to make you doubt your potential and stop you from going after your dreams. Finally, it's not having any supportive coping practices or self-care that doesn't take hours or cost tons of money. Because when you're living in chronic stress at home or work, the last thing that feels accessible is a spa day or a meditation retreat.
We have personally struggled with all of these things, and that's why we created the Body Deck. This affirmation card deck has 77 intentionally designed, beautiful cards to help you address all three of these high vibe killers in just a couple minutes a day. These affirmations will help you tune into your body and your inner world, practice positive self-talk, and best of all, it's super portable and affordable. For only $33, benefit from the transformative practice of affirmations anywhere you go.
So if you're ready to stop the self-sabotage and start being the highest version of yourself, you'll definitely want to get your hands on the Body Deck Affirmation Cards. Head over to Soulea.co. That's Soulea.co to get the Body Deck Affirmation Cards today. You can also find the link in the show notes.